we have a follow-up on something that occurred last week. It was a Dear Flabby letter. A father was upset that his son was constantly infatuated with being a rap star.
17-year-old son does nothing but rap. At one point, he had left home, left school. He's back home, back in school, but still loves his rap.
We have them back. John, the dad, good morning.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
And Jake, the rapper son, who goes by the rap moniker R&R, like Eminem, R&R. Jake, good morning.
How's it going today?
Okay. We had a lot of fun with you guys on the air, and you were going to perform some of your material for us, but we really kind of had you sleepy and unprepared.
Okay, yeah, definitely. So.
Yeah, you sound really energetic this morning.
Well, I'm in a pretty good mood. I got up and I was practicing. I was kind of waiting for the phone call, you know what I mean? So.
Okay, so you're this is you, alert.
Yep.
Huh?
Bob, I'm sorry. You know, I love African-Americans. I love rap. You don't say, hello, how you doing? You say, yo, 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 what's up, boy? Something like that, man. Come on.
Jake, is this how you would greet, you know, paparazzi?
No.
All right. Give me your rap persona. I think Pedro makes a good point there. So let's start this call again. We got John, the father, in Tacoma. Hi, John.
Yo, 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 what up, all?
Not no, you, that was John.
Jake, I'm sorry the train has left with your dad's on it.
John is supposed to reply in a very old man, uncool voice.
But these kids these days, I don't know what to do.
And then now we have Jake and Yelm, the rapper.
Hold it. You're asking for Jake. What do you think you're going to get? You're going to get Jake.
Oh, I'm sorry. With us on the phone is R&R. R&R, yo, what's up?
Well, no, I'm just more like a chill rapper, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know, more real, you know what I'm saying? Not really like trying to impress anybody and stuff like that, you know?
So okay. Far, you're accomplishing that.
I'm hip with that or whatever I'm supposed to be. Did we get one of his MP3s? All right. So Dad wants to know, should I encourage my son in his pursuit of music or rap, if you consider it music, and and should I encourage him? And we're going to listen to it. And, you know, and the way I was taught is no matter what you think of it, you'd still encourage your kid, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to amplify your tiny classified ad. This is kind of a theme. We're going to give your music a chance to be heard in a place where no one's likely to like it. I apologize for that. It's a classic rock station. But still, some people will be impressed that you're working very hard on it.
All right, cool. Thank you. I appreciate everything.
All right, Jake. I'm sorry, R&R?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here we go.
Whoa!
Hey. Hey.
He's a rapper.
What'd you do?
He's a rapper.
Did somebody hit the delay there?
Yes, yeah. Yes, I did.
What did you do, Eric?
Well, I thought we were
the very first
absolutely
word.
Absolutely nothing.
I thought we were getting radio-friendly versions.
You said, I'll take out the cuss words.
Only the very beginning of the song on the instrumental has the cuss word, but the rest of the
you were supposed to send us away. Eric, did you not preview this?
No, I didn't.
Oh, Eric, come
well,
on.
First off, son, R&R, you're going to be a huge star. And I haven't heard an F-bomb delivered with that kind of passion and
Richards. He said he was sending you a radio-friendly version, and you just got lazy and said, well, I'm not going to bother listening to it.
Oh, no,
it was like Hasselhoff with a cheeseburger. It was awesome.
Yes, Mike.
An email from Jake's dad, John, said, cue about 2 seconds in, because right at the beginning, but then the rest is fine.
I tried my best.
John, oh, man, you guys, booby traps. Well, it's a good thing the delay was working. Can you cue that in there, Eric? It was great.
I liked it.
That sounded good.
Is that an instrumental we're about to play? He said the only thing bad was the first two seconds of the instrumental. That won't do us any good.
Yeah, it's only the very first 2 seconds, so the rest of it's totally clean and everything like that.
Okay. R&R, radio edit.
You know what I'm talking about? We're like music is your life, you know what I'm saying? Like it's your soul, it's like the only way to show like what you're feeling exactly at that moment you're saying it, you know what I'm saying? Check it out.
R&R on the track. Listen, little kid, cause music exists, and whoever's really listening, you should know this, that I'm just a team, but I fight for my dream. Never will I give up, no matter what you think. I'ma kill this beat, destroy the scene. With my lyrics, I'ma take over the world with glee. Now I'm free, it's a possibility. Only me, when I step, everyone will follow my feet. To the test, I'm the best, and I fight for the rest. All the less, stand tall, show them your fist. Don't be scared, that's how you fuel the feast. If you wanna feed them, beat them to feet. No joking, not kidding that. I'm just proud that music is my life, and I'll make it my style. So move to the side while the king walks by. Verse is a curse, I'm addicted to the words.
So your dad's like, I wish you'd quit that and get a real job. And you're like in there singing, music is my life. Music is my life. It's fantastic.
That's awesome, man.
Jake, R&R.
Easy, you guys. Now easy.
R&R.
God, he's awesome.
He's great.
What?
He's great.
Look, he's not.
John, if you were calling us to be the big boot that squashed your kid's dream, I got to tell you, I can't do that.
What?
Well, here's the thing. Look, John, it's not our kind of music. It's that the like, but I recognize, for example, neither is Jive Talkin' by the Bee Gees, but I recognize it's a good hit song. Your son there, if he's put this together all by himself with the out your...
In a weekend when we said go record something.
Yeah, this is actually, he's got potential. I mean, there's production tricks, there's things I would tell him to make the percussion a little bit louder and that some of the effects are a little bit overdone, but the song sounded good. The lyrics were a little bit, you know, he can get better, but...
I'd make one lyrical change if I could, double R, or excuse me, R&R. I'd say, if you could say burgers are my life, french fries are my soul, I think you may have more of a marketable product.
Oh, man.
Okay, so... So probably I could probably fix the lyrics and, you know, like work on the lyrics.
Oh, no, don't listen to me.
Don't listen to us. What are you, crazy?
Don't take rap writing advice from a bunch of old white guys.
That was a test. Don't let the man influence your art, brother.
Yeah,
you might. No, I was just asking because, like, you know, like, actually all the, like everything people tell me to try to help me out, I do listen and
Well, you got to stop that. You got to become angry at all of them. Then you'll be successful.
Yeah, they're just trying to rip off your dream, babe.
But maybe not become angry at the first word. You know? work that in a little more gracefully next time.
All right, sweet. All
Jake is like the most easygoing guy.
He's taking notes.
Yeah. All right, what do you have, Eric? But any of you previewed it first?
Yes, there were no F-bombs at the beginning of this one.
We have another song?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't his entire life's work right there? Wow. All right, R&R?
Yep.
We would never do this. You're going to... by the way, before we even play that, I have to... Hold on 1 second, John. I have to let someone say something.
Yeah, definitely.
Tammy in Tacoma, go ahead.
Hi. Hey. I'm a mother of three boys. I absolutely hate rap. But let me tell you, he sounded really professional, and that was really awesome. And if he has a dream, I think he should follow it, and his family should back him up.
What are your boys' dreams that you're backing up?
Hey, well, my son is an ace in math. He's thinking of engineering, mathematical engineering. Anything my boys want to do, I will back them up 100%.
How do you back up a math dream? Do you, like, buy him the best calculator that's made?
Pencils are my life. Erasers are my soul.
Whatever choice he makes and wants to follow, if he's schooling, I will, whatever I can afford, I will help him pay for.
Nice.
And just to give them... to make them feel good about what they're doing. I mean, encourage them. That guy, he sounded really good.
He did.
Wow, you have a fan already.
Who do you think? I appreciate it.
All right, yeah. Thank you. You should write a song about her later today.
All right.
You know?
I don't know. By the way, I just want to say that the jump to fame for 50 Cent was to get shot 9 times.
Hey.
At least just some bruises somewhere.
Yeah. Well, he's in Yelm. That's not so easy. Okay. All right. Let's bring back Dad. John, you still there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're bumming. You were hoping we would tell him to get into some other line of work.
Well, no, not exactly. I was kind of hoping you'd say, yeah, that's really good. You need to... practice some more, and by the way, stay in school, you know?
Oh, yeah, you should do that, because then you can get into, like, our liberal arts school or something with a huge recording studio. Your dad said he'll send you to school. That's the place to really ply your craft. Plus, there's all kinds of college girls to rap to there.
Well, there's an incentive. I like that one.
Jake?
I bet you that'll probably help my knowledge, too, a lot, you know, with, like, just, like, everything I rap about, too, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, your dad was upset when he originally wrote the Dear Flabby letter. He was upset that you were basically becoming obsessive compulsive with the rap, and you weren't having any other meaningful life. And you got to have some life in order to even have stuff to write about. Going to school, you're going to meet young ladies who, for some reason, God can't explain it to me, they're into that stuff. They'll be into you. And you're going to, you know, you're going to get knowledge. And like, unless you want to do it with street smarts, like to go get shot like Tupac.
Come on, you need to thug life, man. Thug life.
Yeah. You don't want to go that route, because anyway, that rap, its popularity has faded anyway.
And there's plenty of people already doing that.
Yeah. So we have a second song. How many songs have you written and recorded, Jake? R&R?
Well, so far I have about probably 6 or 7, but I got about written, you know, like waiting to record. I got about like probably 10 to 15.
Wow. And how long have you been at this?
I've been into rap, but I haven't got instrumentals, which is the music to write, you know, lyrics for them. I just started getting those about a year ago, so I've only been working at it for about a year.
Wow. So. All right, here we go. Here's another one.
Hey, had to do it again. Hey, hey, had to do it again. Again, did I do it? Yeah, I did it again. When I did it just to do it, no, I did it for this. You can't do what I did, so sit back, listen as I do it again. Bitch, stopped again when I did that shit.
Whoa! Eric,
please. What's going on? Getting fired today?
Wait a minute. You were supposed to send radio-friendly versions.
Well, see, like, the only one that I got totally edited was the first one, but the other one...
Okay. Yeah, clearly.
Okay, that's great.
way
to stick it to the man.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's it, buddy. Stick it to the man. Yeah, you bet I got the dirty words out. Ain't no hoes in my song. Dance, girl!
Hey, you know what, Jake?
What was that?
R&R?
Yes.
I like that song better than the first one.
Uh-oh.
It's until you drop the S-bomb. Yeah.
I'm not feeling good.
No, hold on.
Hey,
R&R, we mentioned your dad on Friday, and I'm not sure if you got a chance to hear this. One thing that makes, Pedro mentioned Fitty. He is a mogul. And I've got that right, Fitty?
That's very
Fitty?
True.
I got
yes,
that. Make sure
that's right.
Speak to the kid. He's a mogul. He understands business. So if you want to be a good artist, if you want to be a successful
performer...
You've
got to go to school. Stay in school.
It's one thing to have a great rap. It's one thing to have a great persona, but you got to control your own destiny.
Yeah, stay in school. John, just give it to him 3 words. Stay in school. Adrian, hello.
Hello.
You're on.
Hey, this is for Jake. I helped him put together his...
Hey, dude.
Hey, dude. What's up, dog?
What's up, man? Hey, I'm very proud of you, Jake. They were talking about earlier about... how you should, you know, you shouldn't let it consume you totally yet. You're still a young kid, you know. I really am excited that you are doing this, but, you know, stay with your school career for right now. But keep on doing what you're doing, man. You have did so much lately to improve yourself and what you do. Stay real, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people do like you, so
yeah. Just
keep on going with it, man.
Okay, stay in school, stay real.
Keep it real, got it.
Thank you, Adrian. Jake, here's the deal.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a hard, cold fact.
What's that?
Okay. I think you're good. But that's not the hard, cold fact.
What's the hard, cold fact?
Well, the music industry is in a shambles. You may do your art. It's actually good. You may never get paid. That's the hard, cold fact. For all up-and-coming musicians...
Yeah.
You know what? The next McCartney won't have anything because the other McCartney got it, and he got it yesterday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm trying to rap, actually, in my own way.
This has been all sunshine and lollipops up until now, but that's the hard, cold fact.
That is the hard, cold fact. So the reason it freaks your dad out, hold on, let me get Dad back. Every time I talk to another caller, I have to get put Dad on hold.
Okay.
Hold on. So the reason it freaks your dad out is because as a dad, it's his job to see that you make your own way in life someday when he gets, you know, pushed on that iceberg off into the Arctic.
So, also kind of what I wanted to say was, you know, like, because I think music is my life, you know what I'm saying? So, I know there's a possibility I won't be a rapper, but I'm still going to do it, you know, just because it makes me happy. Like, making music, I kind of go to my own dimension, you know what I'm saying? Like,
good attitude. But you may be successful. You just might. Whatever that is defined as in today's musical world, I think it means you have a really popular MySpace page and 11 million people don't pay you for watching your stuff on YouTube. That's what successful is today.
Yeah.
Obama girl probably got $500 for that shoot.
And all the half T-shirts she can wear.
Yeah, that's it.
What a deal.
So it's a tough road to hoe out there, and I'm talking about the garden implement.
No, I know it'll just take a lot of work. You know?
Yeah, yeah. But well, in other words, if you've ever tried to hoe pavement, it may not be possible.
Do you like?
We gotta wait for them.
Okay.
Yeah, I was waiting for them.
Wait for it.
I was just thinking about it, you know what I mean. But I'm not ever gonna quit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just gonna keep following it, and if I get to it, then you know, thank God. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if not, then
you never want to quit, your name is R&R. You're a rapper. Your first album should be called Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill.
Do you know who he is?
Yeah, he's from World War II.
Go to school. Stay in school. Thank you. Very good.
Why Winston Churchill?
He did that whole thing about never quit. Did you ever learn that one?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Never give up. Never give up.
Yeah.
You know, there may be a niche for you there, too. If you could learn some history, historic rap hasn't been done yet, I don't think.
Oh.
Historic rap?
Yeah. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union.
You mean it means like that I'm just a Bill series?
Yes.
And we do it in rap?
Oh, Skull, and 20 years ago stuff.
7 years ago. But you may want to read some things, unlike, you know.
John and Jake, thank you very much. It's fascinating to meet you. Father and son rap. You have more songs? And have you listened to it?
I can tell you the first 26 seconds does not have a swear word in it.
All right, we're going to play one more song by Jake. I'm sorry. R&R.
Is it true what we wish for, even if it's something we whisper? Is it true what we wish for, even if it's something so absurd, sir?
Yeah, I seen the light through the beams off the 5-0's blinking lights. But it wasn't nothing but a petty charge. Can't tame the safe, 80 still at large. Two sets of plates that see my car. Just another day, not inside of
Jake, how long before you swear?
Damn.
Give me a heads up.
It's the second verse.
Remember that.
No, we were down there this weekend when we drove to Little Creek Casino Resort to see Jay Leno.
Exciting. Was it everything you thought it would be?
Exactly.
Wow.
It was wonderful. And Pedro referred to it as the highlight of his life.
Aww.
Standing there talking to Mr. Leno. You should see there's a picture of Pedro. Well, first off, I should say a really nice thank you to Eric Smilski and the staff at Little Creek, because they listen to the show. They know that Jay is my idol, that Pedro literally is, like an unpaid little staff member of the Tonight Show. And
this show, to be honest.
Yeah. And so I didn't realize how amazing they were being to us. They arranged for us to have a meet and greet, and Jay, when we talked to him, said,
"Hey, come on after the show and say hi."
So I thought, well, this will be one of those. Because a lot of times, if you've ever been to a concert meet and greet, sometimes there's 300 people there and some pop and some popcorn and everybody, you know.
They're behind the card table. They put you through one at a time. You might get a picture if they're in a good mood.
Actually, we've done that to people. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you want a lot of people.
Well, you have to meet a lot of people in a short amount of time.
Right.
There were like six of us backstage. And I realized that nobody was getting back to see Mr. Leno, and that it was very, very special. And I wasn't nervous like I was when I interviewed him. I was nervous, and I don't get nervous for any celebrities because, first off, I just feel it's they're celebrities, but I know they're real people, and I've done it enough. And it's just a job that I'm really more concerned with whether I can you know, bring them out somehow, get them to express themselves. And so I even forget they're celebrities.
Until that day.
Jay Leno to me was just like I had a meltdown like you with Bruce Springsteen.
Well, you were shaking. You were physically shaking.
I was like, oh, Jay Leno.
Here's my impression of Bob interviewing Jay Leno.
Yeah. It was kind of cool, actually. It made me feel alive.
Awesome.
So backstage, though, I could see that we were sitting in a chair waiting to go backstage, and Pedro was shaking. And he had made up for meeting Jay some cue cards with his jokes on them.
Good.
Just like the Tonight Show cue cards. A little smaller. Actually, they were just little
index
cards.
We had to hold them 3 inches from Jay's neck.
But it would look just the same.
Yeah.
And he had made these things up all by himself, I guess, unless you helped him with them.
Well, I'm the one who told him, and the reason is because that's the way Jay likes his jokes. He starts with about 100 of those in the morning at breakfast.
Oh, that's right. I've read that. Yeah, they do them on those cue cards, yeah, and he flips through them.
He weeds through them all day long. He tosses a few out as he goes, and whatever's left, that becomes the monologue. I said, if you want to, you know, talk in the language he understands, you put them on the index cards, just like the ones you used in elementary school, and you write your jokes on
Okay, so that's Jay's routine.
Yeah.
You guys are smart. Thank you for helping Pedro, by the way, because it worked.
See?
So...
Because Jay can only... You can only hear a joke in Jay's voice. You tried to tell Jay Leno some good jokes, but
absolutely.
Jay.
I didn't want to do that.
No, you can't. We tried all seven. It didn't go well.
The part I forgot to tell Pedro, and I hope he figured it out on his own, is you put your phone number on the back of
Well, he did. He put he had his name, his email address,
okay,
his
good.
Phone number
his
on the
visa
back.
Visa number. I don't mean the credit card.
On the back of each one.
Awesome.
So
okay.
Anyway, so he's sitting there. He's a bundle of nerves.
Yeah.
Pedro is. And I said, Pedro, you relax. Pedro goes, well, how come you're not nervous today? I said, well, I'm not on the radio. I'm not showing off to anybody. I, you know, just
me.
Meeting Jay.
Yeah.
So we get ushered into backstage, a nice small little room, and they hired a photographer. They had a photographer there to take some pictures.
Nice.
It's going to be very nice. And there were, like I said, about six people ahead of us. And I said to Eric, I said, or whoever was in charge back there, I said, you know what, let us go last. Because we're the goofy morning radio people, and we were going to want to talk to him about Pedro's jokes.
I'm getting Pedro a job.
I don't know how it's going to go.
Copyright infringement, though, you know, legal property, those kind of intellectual, you know, blah, blah, blah.
So, you know, I didn't want to take up other people's time.
Not
I wanted
right.
to make sure we were the last ones.
Perfect.
And Jay was Jay is wonderful. He's very warm. He's very personal. He is so unassuming, just like The Tonight Show, if you've ever seen him. Before he comes out on stage, and he comes out on stage in a suit, his signature trademark Tonight Show suit. Beforehand, he's always in a pair of jeans and a blue denim shirt. And I've seen him 5-6 times in L.A., and it's always the same.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out in his trademark, you know, shirt and jeans, and shaking a few hands, saying hi. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Yeah.
This down in L.A. You talking about? Or...
No, here.
Here, okay.
He comes walking down the stairs and into the little backstage room.
Was this in between shows, or was this before you even
Before
started?
The first show.
Oh, okay.
That was the other thing. I thought we were all going to be herded in between shows, so we could do it all at once.
Right.
Jay's a workhorse. Jay, the work ethic this guy has is legendary. That along with the bad diet and all the other lack of exercise and things that go along with it.
Self-indulgence and expensive cars, you know.
And his car is, you know, labor of love. But he came in and he was a polite gentleman, very nice. And so a bunch of people got their picture taken.
When the other folks got to meet him and have their moment, were they ushered out?
No. He's so unassuming. Seriously, you could sit down and watch a football game with a guy, no matter who you are.
Well, you don't want to do that in this town this season.
Not this season. Actually, I thought it was a good game this weekend. Any game we have a chance to win until the last play of the game is going to be better than most.
Taunting us when it happens.
Let's get back to some good news. Jay Leno.
So... I said to Pedro, I said, well, don't worry about your cards. I'll introduce you, and we'll, you know, we'll tell him that you brought prepared some cards. And he also had like a folder, briefcase folder. And so I said, peruse the folder. I said, the cards are nice and small. So we get up to meet Jay, and I go, hey, Jay, we're the radio guys, you know, from KZOK. Oh, hell yeah. Hey, thank you for the nice interview. You know, I guess he had a good time. And I said, you remember, I said, you know, Joe the plumber. Well, this is Pedro the joke writer. I don't know if you remember him. Oh, yeah. And then he had this look on his face like, I wonder what they got to do. And Pedro, and we have memorialized this in photograph, you see. Pedro, standing next to his idol, Jay Leno, immediately goes into begging mode, where he folds his hands, not the classic, what do you call prayer. This? The prayer folder. Mm-hmm. This is the way we used to do it.
Please don't take my life.
In Catholic school.
Yeah, right. Interlaced hands.
Interfaced, folded hands, looking at Jay. Please, Mr. Leno, he says. Please, Mr. Leno, I have prepared some jokes, and I know the last time did not go so well. And I said, well, that's my fault. I said, I butchered Pedro's jokes. And Jay goes, oh, yeah, well, what do you got? And you could just picture this. But Pedro's hands trembling, because we had put the jokes in the order of, you know, most Jay to least Jay.
Mm-hmm. So the best one was on top.
Well, I don't necessarily think it was the best joke, but it was the most like you would read it and go, Jay Leno would tell this joke.
Right.
All day long. You know, there's some jokes like that's Jay Leno all day, every day.
Right.
So the first joke, and I will now butcher it for you.
Pedro around? Could we have him?
I don't have Pedro. The joke in front of me, so I'm going to do it from memory. But the first joke, Jay grabs the card, lifts it up to his face like this, mm-hmm. and the joke is, as is tradition, President Bush is planning to pardon a turkey this week. Senator Ted Stevens could be heard walking around his remodeled house going, gobble, gobble, gobble.
Nice.
That's so Jay.
It is.
And perfect for next week.
Pedro is really smart. So, anyway, Jay reads the joke, and we have it captured on film. And he goes, he does a little,
like the voice of an angel right there.
And you know, Pedro is just like melting.
Yeah.
And he goes, and so he immediately, like, as if to say, what you got, he flips it down to the next joke.
Uh-huh.
And he looks at the next joke. No reaction whatsoever, other than he takes the jokes, stuffs them in his pocket, and goes, I'll take a look at these.
And he'll have some time on the flight back.
Well, and I didn't know whether to say anything, but I that never stops me. And I said, well, you know, I could use one of those tonight if you like. They're, you know, free of charge. And
nice of you to give away Pedro's.
And Joe the plumber, party. Pedro the joke teller.
Yeah, that's sweet of you.
And that was that. And then we took some nice pictures together.
That's great.
And said hi for a while. Pedro said, this is the highlight of my life.
I can only imagine.
He may be getting a call. Those were, looked at some of the jokes in there. If he's the ones he sent, those are some pretty strong jokes.
Mm. Then Jake comes out and does a 90-minute set to a packed, sold-out house. Gets a break in between and does another 90-minute set. And, you know, one of the things, and Pedro will come in later, and I'm sure he'll talk about this, because TV people in person
mm-hmm.
always inevitably look, and it's radio people too, you don't sound like you look, they look different, even though you see them every single night. Because on TV, you see, it's a two-dimensional image, it's not real. In real life, all of a sudden, it's like you're seeing a hologram or something. And Jay works really hard and had put in a full week and taken a flight to probably Olympia and then a limo ride to the casino. And Jay was a little, you know, rough.
Had some dark.
He's a little tired. He's little some circles under the. You know what I mean? Yeah, type of thing that you see in person.
Well, it's not a world-class makeup artist backstage at the Little Creek Casino.
I doubt it. Not, no. Although I did meet some of the hot security babes there.
Okay.
Who are big fans of the show. And got they wanted to, you know, here they're waiting for Jay Leno's limo to come in, and they want to get their picture taken with me and Pedro. And we obliged.
Nice.
They also, apparently, they work on, one of them works on old cars.
Sweet.
And so they were all excited. But, yeah, he was, you know, in person. Just it's sort of like I imagine if I meet Rachel Ray in person, you know, because when she's on TV, I'm always going, yeah, she looks great.
Mm-hmm.
But she's, you know, maybe had a
little... She's well-lit.
...extra bowl of pasta too many, but she looks fine. Imagine in person, I'd be even more critical.
Dang!
Probably.
Yeah. But that's the other thing about meeting someone like that in person is that it humanizes the whole process of celebrity, which we make celebrities out to be something almost inhuman or above human, if there is such a thing, and they aren't.
Did you see both sets?
No.
Just the first?
Just the first set. I was exhausted. I mean, I'm exhausted this morning, and all I did is drive out to see Jay Leno. That poor guy.
He's got to fly back and do...
He hopped on an airplane, you know, in Burbank probably, yeah. Flew to Olympia, got in a thing, went to the thing, and then put in a real solid work of night. Very energetic on stage. 90 full minutes. No, none of this hour crap that some stars would try and do.
You guys stayed down at the beautiful resort, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Did Pedro and Luciana stay as well?
Pedro and Luciana got a room, which nice. They were ever grateful for.
That's wonderful.
I scoffed him up a room.
Did Jay fly right back, or did he hang out at the casino overnight?
I don't know. The last time we've done this now a couple of times, we did Dennis Miller, we actually flew into the airport right behind his plane and flew out at the same time he did. That's the, you know, if you want to be a celeb about it, you literally are flown in, you know, like the president for a chicken dinner. You're flown in.
Jay flies on a big chin one.
Yes.
Nice.
But I don't know what he didn't follow.
Fair enough.
Oh, good time was had by all, and special thanks again to the Little Creek Casino Resort. Pedro is here. Pedro and I this weekend hung out with Jay Leno for a little while backstage at the Little Creek Casino Resort, and Pedro did get a chance. What's this with the pleading with the hands, though?
It's because getting on my knees would have been too embarrassing. Yeah. Because I was going to do that.
But. And I said to Jay, Pedro's got these jokes. Would you check him out? And Jay, I thought he might be into, you know, like hesitate, like, oh, I really shouldn't.
You know how many people probably approached him every single day when he walked outside with, I got this beautiful joke for you, and he's probably tired of that, so...
He didn't, though. He didn't demur. He took a card, and he read it, and he smiled and laughed and chuckled.
I was so proud for like
this
two
was
seconds.
The joke that he laughed at. Hold on. Ah. George Bush is scheduled to pardon a turkey next week, and today Ted Stevens was overheard saying, gobble, gobble, gobble.
Okay, well, apparently the reception in this room...
Oh,
was
no, I like that. You can only laugh at a joke so many times.
I told it two hours ago.
Yeah, I was so proud of you today.
Oh, I think, why?
Well, first off, it went well.
It was awesome.
Your jokes were good, and Jay took the jokes and put them in his vest pocket. And then second of all, it went a lot better than Spike trying to meet his idol. He couldn't even get a note past
the
Springsteen.
They wouldn't take it from me.
Well, to be honest with you, when we saw him walking downstairs to go to the meet and greet, he looked... tired, exhausted, like he was not gonna talk to anybody. But he's so polite, such a nice person that he, you know, gave us some time to talk to,
yes.
to us.
Here's another one. I did, was this in the stack? I love this joke. A Fox reporter in L.A. said that he could smell weed during Obama's party in Hollywood. Well, the Republicans were lucky because OxyContin doesn't smell.
Okay, I tried to pitch that joke in this show Friday, and nobody dares say it in this show.
I love that joke.
Oh, thank you.
I just didn't see it. I ignored you. Was that in the list for Jay?
No, I wrote this one on the weekend.
How did you try to pitch it on Friday then?
Well, I straight. I typed
lying.
It to you. I gave it to Joe, and nobody dares say it.
Right.
Gotcha.
Okay. Joe the plumber was pulled over for speeding in Toledo, Ohio, but he didn't receive a ticket. The cop was sympathetic with Joe the plumber, especially when Joe said he was hurrying because his 15 minutes were almost over.
And I gotta owe it to Joe. Joe came out with the idea of the index cards, and you, Spike, came out with the idea of the cue cards.
Oh, they already quickly took credit.
Oh, okay. Well, but thank you, guys, because I did both things. It was a brilliant idea.
Bob kiboshed the cue cards, though.
Oh, okay.
What?
You wouldn't let him bring the cue cards in.
The larger cue card. Yeah. I didn't kibosh them. I said, you know, if we're going to stand next to him, it might be less intimidating if he didn't have the cue cards. Because it was
less
quick.
Kiboshing it.
It was quick. Yeah, I kiboshed you right there.
But I did. I did that, too. I had two jokes there.
Would have been great. Would have been great.
Here's President-elect Barack Obama's going to make his promise good and get a rescue puppy for his two young daughters. So far, they have their eye on a runaway dog named Lieberman. And this is my favorite. I hope this was in the stack that you gave to Jay Leno. This is my favorite. Barack Obama told MTV that kids should pull their pants up. Already a big difference between the Republican administration when congressmen would ask kids to pull their pants down.
Oh! That wasn't...
But that's not a Leno joke.
That wasn't there.
Oh, he would do that. If it was his idea, he'd do it.
Did you keep a list of what you gave Jay?
No.
I know he put those jokes in his pocket.
He did, yes.
So you could have documentation of Jay Leno telling one of your jokes.
No,
on
don't
his
play
show.
It the legal way, though.
If he does one of those jokes, I'd be the happiest man on earth.
Yeah. So. Pedro's not the legal action type. Remember, he got old Lyme disease, and he took a coupon for a free round trip from the airline.
I wish it was a free round trip. It was a free drink.
Let's see.
By the way, I also want to thank you, Bob, because actually Bob paid for my room there. And I had some sexy time with my wife.
Right.
I owe it to you.
It was my pleasure. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. And also...
And there was your drums in the room, too. Did you get the drums?
No, there was some bongo playing, let me tell you, that night.
Is there a video?
You know what I mean, Bob.
Is there a video? You put on the...
No, but also, this is for real. People don't know this, but there was someone else famous that meet and greet, because people asked Bob for pictures, more than Jay Leno. Some people there that were just walking around say, can I take a picture with you, Mr. Bob Rivers? So he was also a famous person around that day.
Yeah. I have a pocket of fans in Shelton.
Nice.
Thank you, Pedro. Yes.
Press to flesh.
By the way, I have to point out that the video of you and Pedro meeting Jay Leno, Bob, is actually on BobRivers.com
now. It's already up there. All right, you can check that out. Any more of these jokes I should go with before
all of them are fantastic today. Just so feel so confident.
They're so good. You feel it on top of the world.
After you made Jay Leno snicker once, you're ready to roll.
Go for the Biden one. Those are easy ones.
McCain aides claim that Sarah Palin didn't know Africa was a continent. Palin immediately denied those rumors because it's not true she doesn't know Africa. As a matter of fact, she said she gets personal emails all the time from an African prince.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
nice. You. That one I hope you gave him. That's a
I
good joke.
I gave him that one, yes. I'm rolling today. Come on, Bob. Come on. I've been confident. One
just
more.
Read.
One
just
more.
Read. In radio address over the weekend, President-elect Barack Obama said he'll ban torture, which is good news because it appears The View will be off the air.
Thank you.
Finally.
Come on. I'm here all day. Come
nice.
On.
Oh, God. Take it easy, Pedro.
Oh, we can be heroes just for one day.
Actor Greg Grunberg has been involved in some great television series, starring roles in Felicity, Alias, currently a big part of the hit NBC series Heroes. Greg plays mind reader Matt Parkman. Greg Grunberg, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's good to have you. I am a fan of the show, big fan of the show, actually.
Thank you.
As is our producer, Mike. And I'll tell you, we're in a kind of a new era of television, it seems, where a show like this, I don't think a show like this would have happened 5-10 years ago. But now, because people can watch series on DVDs and catch up, and also because TV appointment watching and recording that makes it such that we become addicted to shows, we don't miss, you know, a single episode. So these shows can go from one to the other and really be connected instead of each hour having to be, you know, live entirely on its own.
Yeah, it's and true. And also the budget of episodes like this, our show is like a movie every week,
mm-hmm.
and
you know, you're right. 5 or 10 years ago, you'd never be able to justify this. Now, I got back from London and China promoting the show. It's a huge hit all over the world, and I'm, you know, obviously so lucky to be on a show like this, but it shows that with all these other markets and all these other ways of making money and paying for a show like this, they can justify the costs.
Yeah, and I think this is the template for future shows, which are going to be cross-platform everywhere.
Yeah.
And some people worry about, you know, drama's going down. I think we're going to see extended movie. That's a good way to put it. Let me ask you about your involvement. You have a very cool character, reads minds.
Yeah.
I really liked your wife, and then you split up with her. Where is she now?
I liked her, too.
Yeah, what happened there?
Well, I read her mind, and I found out she was cheating on me.
Yeah, but she was such a cool character, but then boom. And sometimes on these ensemble shows, I don't know if this happens to you, when you're like if there's a week that you're not on.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what you're up to.
Exactly. And you know what's funny? It's so funny that you brought that up, because I'm sitting on the set with Tim Kring, who's the creator of the show and the genius behind it all. And I said, you know what would be great is, even on a sitcom where, you know, it's in front of a live audience and the kid says to his dad, you know what, forget you, and he goes upstairs. Wouldn't it be great if you could click online and see what he's doing in his room upstairs? Mm. Or on an episode that I'm not on, go online and you can follow Matt Parkman and see what he's doing, even though he's not on that episode. Like, I think that's also where we're going.
You know, I think so, because you can have spin-off series that way, and then some of them would get really popular and spin off like little asteroids.
Just on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's fascinating stuff. So now your character reads minds. Have you contemplated what that would be like in real life?
I wouldn't even want to. I mean, there are moments where I just shot something where my power is enhanced 1,000-fold, and I can hear every thought from every person in New York City all at the same time. It's like an explosion in my head. I would not want this power. The power I would want is super metabolism, and that right there, I'd be able to eat anything.
Yeah,
that'd be the great. No, I love the idea of playing a character whose power is kind of a personal character thing. Even though it's fantasy, and it's at least you're dealing with thoughts and emotions, and it's just a great thing for an actor to play. And I think a really, really cool power, especially since they expanded it now, and I can control people, control their thoughts and control their mind.
Well, and with that in mind, Greg, do you ever walk by the writer's room and think really hard, Greg Grunberg needs more screen time. Matt Parkman should get with the cheerleaders, stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah, no, all the time I try and send those thoughts into their head. Now, they know what they're doing. I trust them, you know, explicitly. And they you know, what we do on the show is such a small part of this show, with pre-production, the writing, and then the special effects make such a huge part of the show. So I just tilt my head, and they make me look good.
Yeah. Now, back to that, and you had a bit part on Lost, didn't you?
I did. I played the pilot of the plane.
Attaboy.
Yeah, I got sucked out of the plane and killed. Yeah.
And then on this show, two very, I want to say, similar in some ways, in that they're the new kind of television shows. I didn't discover Heroes until my son brought over the DVD of the first season, and then I was instantly hooked.
Yeah,
some people.
By the way, how great is that? It's a great way of watching the show and catching up, because there's no commercials and you can just kind of blow, you know, it's like a movie.
And it's like time with your son, too. You count that as time with my son.
Exactly.
You're sitting in front of the tube.
Yeah.
But then in the last season, it did get a little hard to follow for me a couple of times. There were a bunch of new characters, and your fans reach out, and they have a big say in the show, don't they? I mean, they hear the fans if the fans like or don't like something.
They do, and it's tough. It's a really tough burden to be put on to the creators of the show, because we are 8 episodes ahead. So the show airs, we hear the thoughts, you know, we hear the thoughts, no pun intended.
That's you.
We read the comments online, and there's, hopefully, we've already taken care of those issues, and you know, Tim is already thinking, you know, of how to simplify or how to you know, wrap things up. I mean, the good news about our show is, compared to some of the others, is if there's a huge question or confusion, it's usually wrapped up in 1 or 2 episodes, as opposed to, you know, like I was on Alias, there were times when it took 6 episodes to wrap up a you know, something. It was really serialized, and I think they do a great job on our show of satisfying that whole thing.
Hey, Greg, well, speaking of fan input, I mean, I know we're short. If fans come in masses saying, oh, God, don't do this, whatever you do, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this.
Yeah.
But you've already shot it. Have you ever had to go back and change something because you knew it wasn't going to be seen well or taken well?
Well, at the end of season 2, you know, Nathan Petrelli gets shot. That was the second ending that we wrote. We wrote an ending where he comes down with this virus that's out there. And they did the network, we shot it, and then the network said, you know, we don't like the virus being the villain, because then you have to track down it, so it takes a long story. This way, it'll be a sniper, and we actually reshot the exact same scene with somebody shooting Nathan, and then it turned out to be, you know, Peter Petrelli in the future, and it was a really exciting way of telling stories. So, yeah, I mean, they do it when they have the time. We got the second season was cut short because of the writer's strike, so they actually had the time to go back and fix, you know, and change certain things, but you don't usually get that chance.
Greg, pleasure meeting you. Greg Grunberg.
Thanks for supporting the show and having me on. I appreciate it.
Greg, nice to meet you. Dear Flabby, is it okay to date my 8-year-old's teacher? My husband and I recently divorced. I got full custody of our 8-year-old son. While I was at one of my son's school events last month, I met his teacher. Great guy. We hit it off. We have been on a couple of dates, but I'm wondering how this will affect my son if we were to get serious. He's only 8, so I don't even know if I should talk to him about it. Does it matter how old your kid is? Is there anyone out there who dated their son's teacher? Just make sure the son isn't dating the teacher.
Yeah, better you.
You can date whoever you want. That's what I think.
Boy.
Should I ask for my son's permission before I go any further? Well, that's kind of weird to ask your 8-year-old. Hey, you know, so far we've only got to second base, but if it's okay with you, Skipper.
What do you think, little man?
Gotta go spend the night. You go to grandma's.
We call it going to grandma's in my house. 1-800-252-1025. Is there anyone out there who's dated your child's teacher? Or dated a parent in a classroom where you were a kid? Maybe the teacher will call. 1-800-252-1025. Is there a... should just check with Spike, because frequently he just has the answer to
I it. Have nothing on this one, Bob. By the time I had a kid, I wasn't
How many teacher dateable. Conquests did your parents have?
Teacher... Oh, how many teachers?
No. I mean, you're...
There's a couple. There's a few, actually. Three, I think.
You conquested three
yeah,
teachers?
Sure, you bet. Not my own. They were young women who were teaching.
Oh.
You know, teachers. Not mine. Nor my kids, because...
Have I ever dated a teacher? No, I haven't. How about you, Joe? You've dated a teacher, haven't you?
No,
oh.
I have not.
It's awesome. They always try to put your stuff away for you and clean up after you. It's great.
Never dated a teacher, but I do have a 9-year-old, and my 9-year-old likes a good separation of school and social life. We became good friends with my daughter's kindergarten teacher. Now, obviously, we didn't date. We're all married. But she's intimidated by the fact even that we have a friendship with, you know, one of her teachers. I think if you know, I would be very careful about something like this, because to your son, this guy is an ultimate authority figure, educator guy, and to become socially, much less romantically involved with him, I would think would be a little bit on the scary side, depending on how the kid is, especially after just losing a dad in a divorce. Now, I'm not saying don't do it, but maybe you should hide it from him a little bit.
1-800-252-1025. Should I date my 8-year-old's teacher? And if I do, what do I have to make sure of? Yes, Eric.
When I was 7 years old, my mother was friends with my teacher at the time, my second grade teacher. And I remember going to her apartment one time, and my mother rang the door. My teacher opened the door. She was wearing a bathrobe, had just gotten out of the shower, and I was completely weirded out. I did not want to see my teacher in that sort of getup. It just seemed wrong.
Did your dad want to see your teacher in that sort of getup?
He
just
may have.
Just wondering how
was,
the story
she,
relates.
She was actually pretty
all.
Attractive.
Pretty hot, was she?
Yes, she was.
Is there anybody out there with experience? Susie in Mill Creek, hello.
Hi, Bob. This is Susie. Okay, single mom. It's like church and state. You can't combine your children's education with your dating life. It's like doing things in your backyard that you would never do.
Which one of those is like church?
That's right. It's like you're separating church and state. This is your children's education. If you need the teacher, what if it doesn't work out? Your poor kids.
So the school, I'm just trying to get the analogy. The school would be state.
The school would be state.
And you kneeling in front of the teacher would be church. I got it.
Let's use their education as their religion. They need it. It's part of their moral fiber to grow up. You're really going to date the teacher?
Well, what if, let me ask you this. What if it's, we're talking about soulmates earlier, and what if your teacher, your kid's teacher, is your soulmate? Do you deny, do you deny what could be the best thing for your kid is the right partner in the home?
Yeah, and by the way, what if the last guy was the opposite of a teacher? You know, teachers are wonderful people who help young people grow and develop. What if you're, you know, what if you meet finally the right person?
Yeah.
Do you, could you transfer the kid to another class?
And what if it'll help his grades? Isn't it your duty?
I would like to think that if I dated my child's teacher, their grades would not change. And if they did, I guess I would be that good. And
yeah.
My children needed me to date the teacher. And
right.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're not doing it right. Yeah.
So
nice point.
So, Susie, single mom, where do you
which
ponds do you fish in?
I do not fish in the children's pond at all. There is no crossing of any ponds that involve my children's social life, their sports life.
Wouldn't date the soccer coach?
Nope. As a matter of fact, I had two kids in soccer. My children are now 21, 19, 16, and 15.
Still single?
My first husband passed away. I'm remarried.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
I never crossed those barriers.
Thank you, Susie. 1-800-252-1025. I had hoped we would find a teacher who'd been through this.
Yeah.
Maybe they're out there, but you haven't called. We do have a teacher on the line, though. Chris, hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. If you were to date a parent of your student, then what's going to affect that student's grades? Gee, you didn't like what the interaction that you had with the parent the night before, therefore that student is not doing as well today.
On
the other hand,
well, that's a soft B. Let's bump that up a little bit.
Right. I mean, if that student is a fantastic student and getting straight A's, then all the other parents of, you know, students in your class are going to look at that and say, oh, yeah, kid's getting those straight A's because he's sleeping with the mom.
Sometimes just the appearance of impropriety is worth avoiding the relationship, you say.
That's right.
All right, Chris, and you are a teacher.
That's right.
Have you ever, at one of those parent-teacher conferences, met a single mom and went, damn?
I've been approached by many single moms, but I said, oh, sorry, no, not going to go there.
Wait a minute. I'm not buying that.
Maybe they just weren't hot enough.
Yeah. Single moms, lonely, throwing themselves at the teacher, and you never sharpened your pencil?
That's right.
That's it. What do you teach,
because
by the way?
Because they pay you too much.
What do you teach? Because I didn't think ethics was still part of our curriculum. What do you actually teach?
I teach sixth grade.
General taught all the subjects then?
All the subjects.
Did you ever say, when he gets to seventh grade, call me back to one of those moms?
Nope.
Are you still single?
No, I'm actually married.
Oh, okay. Well,
got her done.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. We have... here's Chris and Vashon. Chris, go ahead.
The teacher's only going to be the kid's teacher for five more months.
I was thinking that, too.
What's you just
this
wait.
Kid, this kid could be in the fifth grade forever? Come on,
right.
No.
Exactly. Let the parent date the teacher casually until the school year is over, and then the teacher's fair game, right?
Casually means secretly.
Correct.
Or, you know, from a distance, you keep it.
Yeah, secretly means not in our house.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or the coat room at school.
Yeah. Or the broom closet or wherever.
NIMBY, not in my bed, y'all. Thank you very much, Chris. Brian in Redmond, can you date your kid's teacher? Hello.
Hey, Bob. Hey, gang. How's it going?
Okay.
Absolutely not. I've got a 15-year-old son. You know, I'm a single dad, sole custody and all that. And I've had plenty of opportunities over the past few years. And
it's guys bragging day, by the way. Spike's had hundreds of conquests.
Hundreds.
You've had plenty of opportunities.
Your son's teachers throw themselves at you?
No, but here's the thing. It's absolutely wrong. It's a clear conflict of interest. You mess with your kid's own head. with their education, everything. You got to put your kid first in situations like this. And this chick who's written this Dear Flabby letter, she's just all messed up.
Okay. So you would sing, if you were singing a Van Halen song, you would sing, I want to get laid, but not with teacher.
Not your teacher. I need it bad, so bad, but not with your teacher.
Yeah, well, after he moves on to the next grade, well, then, you know, okay, but not while it's his current teacher.
All right, thank you. It's pretty unanimous. We had that one guy wait 5 months.
Right. Transfer the little monster.
Elsa was a teacher and saw this happen. Elsa?
Hi. Yeah, I worked in a very small community, and it wasn't just that it was a difficult thing if you dated your child's teacher, but it was also a difficult thing if other children in the classroom knew that you were dating someone, even if your kid wasn't in the class. So I think that, in general, it's pretty, I don't know, I think if two people want to date each other and one of them happens to be the other person's child's teacher, that if it's really the right thing, that they will wait at least until the kid is out of the teacher's class.
Wait a while.
Wait a while, yeah. I
especially if you live in Petticoat Junction.
Yeah. I had a student actually look at a classroom volunteer who was dating the teacher and say, I don't know how you put up with this guy. So strange things happen, and it's best to not let kids know what's up with that unless it's really serious, but just definitely don't while your kid is enrolled in that person's classroom.
Or keep it on the down low if you do.
Yeah, and in the community I was in, that was not possible. But
that's why you moved?
Yeah, I live somewhere else now.
That's why she moved.
Yeah, it's all about me.
Just checking.
Thank you. Dan in Seattle, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, I don't know if it's a good idea or a bad idea, but remember Andy Griffith and Opie?
Mm-hmm.
Andy was dating Opie's teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Howard turned out okay, making movies, lots of money, seems pretty stable. Lost all his hair worrying about it. Because I got a crush on Obama. I'll wait till
2008. Well, Joe the plumber couldn't get it done, but I think you got to give Obama girl some credit. The 2008 presidential election was driven by pop culture more than any election in history. Peripheral characters like Joe the plumber, Reverend Wright, got worthwhile attention, even though neither one had any influence on the outcome. Amber Lee Ettinger got the fame, and I believe she was a little bit of a catalyst early on, making her candidate cool and, of course, attractive to young people. Amber Lee, the Obama girl, produced the song that you just heard. It was viewed by 11 million people on YouTube. Maybe one guy saw it 4 or 5 times, too. Obama girl Amber Lee Ettinger, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. Now, I know you did this with, like, a comedy website, barelypolitical.com, and you did a bunch of follow-ups and sequels and everything. Were you, you can say now after the election, were you passionately for the policies of Obama or just having fun?
I definitely had, and I thought he was a really intelligent guy. And, you know, when Ben Rellis kind of came up to me with this idea, I just thought it was great. And since I already liked Obama, I was like, I'm going to do this. And I did it. And I never in a million years would have thought it was going to, you know, I would keep doing it for 15 months after that, so.
Wow. And on election night, as you watched the returns come in, and boy, did they, did you feel a sense of pride at having helped?
I was so unbelievably happy. You know, when people give me, like, credit for this video, I'm completely honored. But, you know, I know that we did this video so long ago, and he ran a really great campaign, and I was just kind of happy to just be a part of this election by having these videos. But I think he did amazing on his own. And, you know, when the results came in, I started crying. I was just crying because it was just all this, like, emotion, like, building up, I guess, for so long.
Amber, this is totally sidebar, and I don't mean to put you on the spot or anything, but I'm just curious. Africa, continent or country?
Continent.
Attaboy. All right. See that? That's a smart electorate right there.
Thank you.
the only thing I ever heard President-elect Obama say about your video was it was his little girls didn't like it that much, that he had to explain it to them why this beautiful woman had a crush on
him. Oh, yeah, because he's got a first lady who would probably kick your ass if you come anywhere near him.
Did he ever in any way contact you with a text message or, you know, say thanks?
No, he never did, actually. But when he came on the news and was speaking about that, you know, I think it was just him being a good parent. I think that our video is not meant to be viewed by seven-year-olds or, you know, anyone too young. It's just not meant for them to understand. And I just think he had to kind of say something like that, and it showed him being a good parent, pretty much. But, yeah, I'd love a text message from him, but I don't think that's happening.
You don't think you're going to get any? Now, I imagine you've gotten some job offers because of this. Probably not all sorts of things that you'd like to actually take. But what sort of people have come out after you looking to maybe get a piece of you?
Well, it's definitely opened a lot of doors. Prior to this video, I was modeling and acting, and I went to college for fashion design, so I'm still doing all that same stuff, and it pretty much kept me busy this past year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been able to start working on an album, which is really cool, as well as a jewelry line with my mom, so I'm really excited about that. So it's definitely opened a lot of doors and brought me to really cool places, and I got to do pretty cool things, I think, this year, so I'm happy.
Neat of
I'm
you.
Happy.
Amber, yeah. Is there a guy out there who can brag that he's dating Obama girl?
I don't think so, no.
No, not at the moment.
No.
I know of 11 million guys who claim they've been close to you. Now, I heard somebody say, and I'm not going to mention any names, but a very well-dressed former candidate said that you were a, next you're going to be, I got a crush on Al-Qaeda. That's not true. You didn't take that gig, did you?
No.
Okay, good. That's, yeah, because they said you would do dance for anybody's campaign, and I didn't buy a word of that.
No, that's not true at all. I did get to do a great video with Ralph Nader and Mike Gravel, though. I'm pretty pumped about that.
I've got a crush on Ralph Nader. I just don't see
it. No, it wasn't that.
I'm just not buying that.
No, they're not all crush videos.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah. She does. Do you see a future politically for yourself? Because at this point, I mean, as crazy as our society is, Joe the Plumber could run for Congress. You could run for almost anything. And some people would take you seriously, and if you had some ideas, you'd have a shot.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, I really don't have any. That's not my plans. I've kind of known what I wanted to do since I was about 13, and that's what I do, and that's what I like to do. So, modeling, acting, and designing.
And I'm assuming one of the things you've known you want to do is keep all your clothes on. I assume Hugh Hefner offered you a huge amount of money to pose after your fame.
It's strange. I got some offers, but I think Playboy has known from a while ago that I wouldn't pose for them, because I've done a lot of stuff for like Hawaiian Tropic, and Hawaiian Tropic beauty pageants and Playboy kind of go hand in hand. And years ago when I won Miss New York, I had already said no, so I don't.
You're already on their list of of people who've turned you down. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
why is that? Now, Amber, you clearly have a lot of fun, and you don't take anything too seriously. I can hear that in you. Why is it that that yours is so special that no one can see it?
It's not that mine is so special. I think it's that I don't ever want to do anything that my parents wouldn't be proud of.
Nice. I'm with you there. I'm so brought up that way.
Yeah.
But no one's offering me anything.
If I did that.
Wow, that's very cool.
And it is a down economy. I mean, the seven-figure get-naked deals probably aren't happening this year. A lot of times.
Joe, you're implying that there's an amount of money she would take. Is there, Amber?
No.
No?
No, there really isn't. No,
seven figures, eight figures, wouldn't matter.
No, because also not only my parents, I feel like once you kind of do that, then that's it. And then that's what everyone remembers. And I'm too young to feel like that's the best thing that I could do with my career and my life.
Now, Amber, I don't want to get too personal. Just bat me down if I do. But there's no guy. There's no posing. There's you seem like very private. Maybe are you a loner?
No, but I am pretty private, though.
Yeah.
I am private. Mm-hmm. I like to keep my personal life private and, you know, everything else that I like to put out there.
All right.
That's what's out there.
Well, we can just imagine whatever we want then. Is that okay?
Again, 11 million guys.
11 million guys. Can't be wrong.
Yeah.
Amber Lee Ettinger in New York. Amber, you're charming. All the best to you. And I hope that Obama takes at least a moment and all, you know he's got stacks, thousands of thank you cards.
I know. He does.
I hope he takes a moment to thank you.
Maybe, right?
All right.
See.
Be well.
Thanks, guys, so much. You can fight. You can borrow me.
By the way, that's not her singing.
No.
Much like the Chinese Olympics opening ceremony.
I got a crush on communism.
There is somewhere there's a not so Obama girl who actually sang it. Yes, Mike.
Yeah, her name is Leah, and she's, you know, reasonably attractive.
She's okay.
But she's,
she's okay. She's
no well, Obama that Chinese, girl. That other Chinese kid was okay
was
too.
Okay,
I thought,
yeah, just not trophy, right?
This was a hired modeling gig for Obama girls. She just really hit the jackpot there, as fame wise.
And if you do want to hear her sing, she actually did release a single called Second Time, and I've got it right here.
All right, let's hear what Obama Girls, if she had actually sung, would sound. This is going to be her singing through all kinds of electronic devices, of course. It's like there's a bird in the recording studio on one of the speakers there. What's that?
I think you nailed it. Chihuahua.
Soothing. What do you call this kind of music?
Almost good? It's kind of got a cool beat.
Yeah, it's
but
a...
But it's not...
It's ethereal. It's
ethereal. I like it. Yes.
Want me to think about us? Joe, can you translate this for me? I can't hear a word she's saying. Did she imply that she was my first hot meal?
Yeah, yeah, I heard that
she
part.
She wants a man who will sop her up with a biscuit.
I can't hear women's voices, you know. I can interpret male rappers all day, but I have a hard time hearing women. I don't know why. There's a block there for some reason. Magic to do just for you. We've got miracle plays to play. We've got hearts to perform, hearts to warm. Kings and things to take by storm as we go along our way.
Multiple Tony and Emmy Award-winning entertainer Ben has been a part of some of the successful and historically significant plays, some of the most successful movies, TV shows. Let's give you some example. Jesus Christ Superstar, Hair, and Wicked. He was Chicken George in Roots, and he brought Louis Armstrong to life in Chicago style. He had roles in Hollywood classics such as All That Jazz and Funny Lady, and he's toured a variety of one-man shows on stages all over the world. Ben Vereen, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. Hello.
Join us. How are you?
I'm good. I looked at
Thank you for having me on the show.
All right.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Oh, it is so our pleasure.
And you gave me there.
What's that?
That's a great intro.
Well, the first time I looked at your name, Joe scribbled it out in pen, and it looked like veneer, and I started to mispronounce it, so I apologize for that.
Okay, just don't call me late for dinner.
It's all right. So, Ben, so little time, so much to ask you about.
So little time, let's do it.
Yeah, let's start with this Hallmark show, because it doesn't really make clear on the website what exactly your role is.
I play a character called Wes, who's very complex. So you must watch the show to find out my story. But it's about a homeless person who's befriended by a police officer, this lady police officer, and they have this common bond, which is these dogs, but it also it makes her life better for meeting this woman.
And now, is the homeless person, is that Miranda Bailey, the Chandra from Grey's Anatomy?
Correct. That's correct. Chandra Wilson.
Chandra Wilson. Miranda Bailey is her doctor character. That's on a show, you know, Grey's Anatomy.
Yes, it's her and myself. And it's the story of this friendship of these two unseemingly matched pair, this odd couple. But I call Hallmark the Love Thy Neighbor channel. You have the As Thyself, because it brings us shows that makes us aware of our neighbors or personally what we're going through.
Yeah, and it looks like the whole country might be in a kumbaya moment right now, huh?
We are in a kumbaya moment. It's a wonderful kumbaya. May we always stay in this kumbaya, and do not forget why we are here. and what we've worked for to get here, and let us go forward in unity and make this truly the greatest country that it is, a United States of America.
Hold on, some fife and drum
yeah,
music.
Yeah, that's nice.
And now, do you really think, by the way, I so hope you're right, but do you really think that's going to last, or are we going to start knocking each other down again as soon as some things start happening?
It's up to you, it's up to me. It's up to your listeners out there if they're going to allow that to happen, if we're going to allow it to happen again. We must get behind this man and protect him and follow what the plan is to go forward, because a plan going forward, may some of us may not like it,
right,
but we're all going to come out better for it,
right,
on the other end. We must give him the true chance of being that.
Just to be clear, just to be clear, Ben, you're not talking about Joe the plumber, right, when you say get behind this man.
Okay.
I'm talking about President-elect Obama, the people's president. This is the people's president. For the first time, we have a man of color who represents all of America, embodied in this one man. When he speaks for everybody in this country.
Now, did you cry the night of the election?
I did.
And would you?
I had a river.
You did cry a river.
I was going around from phone bank to phone bank with Peter Yarborough, and we were just telling people, man the phones, stay the course, stay the course. In America, we must stay the course. You know, one of the things I want to talk to you about is, you know that this month is the Diabetes Awareness Month, and I'm taking the stage for diabetes awareness. As President Obama said, we must do something about diabetes in America today.
Now, you recently announced that you have type 2 diabetes. How did you find that out?
I found it out on Christmas Day. That was my Christmas present. And when I laid there and I said, why me? You know, and the voice came back and said, why not you? This is a blessing for you to begin to take care of yourself. I didn't know the signs. When I was running around and I was getting lazy and I was getting tired and I didn't want to take dance classes, I was getting dry throat, I didn't know these were the signs. I didn't know, hey, I'm craving sugar in the middle of the night. I didn't know these were the signs. And finally I passed out. My daughter took me to the hospital, and the next day they came and said, Mr. Doreen, you have diabetes type 2. And, you didn't know what to do. But right away, my doctor, Dr. Bush, said, this is what you're going to do. I'm going to put you on insulin one shot a night. I want you to exercise. I want you to watch the foods that you eat. Make positive food choices for yourself. Now, that was for me. It may be different for you, but go to that somebody and tell the doctor or whoever and get your blood sugar checked and get on a program for you if you have diabetes. If not, get on a program that's going to save your life.
You know,
it's a wonderful thing we found out about the diabetes of four family members, right? One has diabetes. What happens is the family goes in and they talk to the doctor. The doctor says, this is what this person has to do to live with diabetes. You have to change the diet. You have to exercise more. The family begins to get involved in this program, and we found that the families are becoming healthier themselves.
The whole family, yeah.
Family. So this is really a call out to America. Get healthy, to get healed.
Well, Mr. Vereen, you do a one-man show, a tribute to Sammy Davis Jr. Isn't that exercise enough?
I haven't lost a step.
Yeah, you haven't lost a step. So even though you're on stage every night dancing and everything, you still got out of shape enough that diabetes could get you, huh?
Because the strain, you never know who has the strain or how it's going to hit. That's what we're trying to find out now. I can't answer that. You have to talk to the doctors about that. Hmm. But the strain could hit anybody.
Anybody. Hey, Ben.
Anybody. We have 24 million people living with diabetes in this country. We have 6 million who don't even know they have it. And every 21 seconds, somebody else is diagnosed with diabetes. And as the president said, we got an epidemic on our hands. He didn't say that, but we have an epidemic on our hands.
Ben, you have a great reputation as an inspirational speaker, and I can hear it coming out in the way you passionately talk about Obama and just as passionate about people getting healthy. When you do other inspirational speaking engagements, What are some of your life-saving nuggets that you offer people on how to make their lives better, besides those two things?
Well, the one thing, and I'm going to leave you with this, I tell everyone, every day is a blessing. You can either wake up in paradise or you can wake up in hell. It's a choice. It is a choice. No matter what is against you, when you wake up in paradise, you've already surrounded yourself with the energy in order to deal with that problem.
Wow.
Man, before we go, I know you're ready to go, but before you go, I have to say that you're the first black person I ever liked, and I want to put that in perspective, because I grew up in a very white neighborhood of a very, segregated city, And your portrayal of Chicken George on Roots was kind of the first time African Americans had made their way into my home or my life.
We're glad we're here, and we're glad you made the connect, and now we got the chance to make that connection worldwide, known wide.
Mm.
Are you going to be appointed ambassador or something, or some kind of cabinet position with President-elect Obama?
Well, my cabinet is diabetes right now.
Right.
And I'm gonna be working with that to make diabetes more aware. We change the dialogue. We're not suffering with diabetes. We're living with diabetes. We don't have a challenge. We have an opportunity.
You're also the godfather of Usher, is that right?
Correct, that's right.
Now, as godfather, do you go like take chocolate out of his house and keep him from getting diabetes?
Sugarless candy?
Yes.
There you go.
All right, Ben Vereen, it's a pleasure, sir. Thank you for all your inspirational words.
Pleasure, and God bless you, and enjoy this day in paradise.
Right.